Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I'm Bill Shear, and I want to welcome everybody that's watching online, including my little brother, Jeff Shear, in St. Charles. Hey, how about my little brother, Jeff, watching church? Yeah, he needs a word today, I'll tell you right here. And everybody else watching online, we're glad you're here. Welcome to Guts Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're also in Skytook and Sepulpa. A couple years ago, we decided that we were going to do a capital campaign. Sandy, do you remember why we decided it? I don't even remember why now. I thought, okay, we've never done it before, so let's do it. I'm sure there was a great why. But what we decided to do was make just a bunch of improvements around here and just really honestly make this as congenial and as hospitable a place that you could ever go to. And we've started doing that. We've made a lot of improvements in the sanctuary with lights and sound and video and other kids playground stuff. We've got that global motion deal that like 30 kids are on and leaders are turning it and it's a great workout. And you guys need to lose a few pounds, you could volunteer in the kids church. You have to do a background check and you have to have been in the church 6 months and you can't be weird or freakish. And if you could check all those boxes and you're thinking, man, I need to lose a few pounds, just go push that global motion thing for a little while and it'll work. And we've also put in a zip line for them and I'll tell you what is next is a plaza right outside the west entrance. We're gonna expand the west entrance, the main entrance over here, and we're also going to put a plaza in. I've been looking at the plans and it's just phenomenal. I think it just has to go by Sandy's desk now, and I think we can rubber stamp it. But also the field house. But I just want to tell you guys this: it's not about, for me, it's not about raising the money. It's really not. And it never has been. All right. But it's about what happens in people's lives when they're a part of something like that. And I talked to Chano today, and it's interesting. He's like, it's what comes back into your account as a giver and as a contributor and what God's doing and just reaching people. And that's what we want to do. I'll tell you, I'm in a series on Sundays, and that series is really it's the three parables leading up to the fourth parable. But anyway, the three parables where Jesus confronts the scribes and Pharisees. And one of them is about the lost sheep, and that was last Sunday. And the other one's the lost coin, which is this Sunday. And then the lost son, which is the Sunday before Easter. And then we have Easter. And Easter's Start Again is the title, is how we're promoting Easter. And a lot of people don't need a do-over. They just need to start again. Get going. Let's get going. Man, let's be about what God's called us to be about. Let's be who God's called us to be. And let's not let people getting rid of some baggage. And we're going to have over 1,000 guests in here for Easter. So it's going to be exciting. But then after that, I'll tell you, the Lord's been putting in my heart, just because I care about you guys and I love you guys. I'll give you a little taste of what's coming after Easter. Is just what's stirring in my spirit is our first love, that we return to our first love. And I'll just tell you, the vision statement of this church from the beginning, okay? And we've kind of added some poetic, flowery phrases to it, but it just boils down to winning the world to Jesus and as much of the world as we can. And the world, I look at it as a pie. I don't just want a sliver. I don't just want a piece. I want to win the whole dadgum pie. Anybody with me on that? And just to win the world to Jesus. And really honestly, but then the mission statement, that's the vision statement. The mission statement is to help people win. And that's why you're here today. You're here today. This word tonight is going to help you win. I'll just tell you, whether you go and do it or not, or be about it or not, is up to you. Okay, but if you want to win, and it's in whatever situation or whatever deal in life, whatever you're dealing with in life, this can help you win. And I think about Matthew, the 8th chapter, where Jesus came across a centurion, and the centurion said, man, my son, or my servant, and there's a couple versions of the translation that calls him his son, but yours probably says that my servant is paralyzed and gravely ill. And it's interesting because Jesus said, it's what Jesus' response was. And think about the situation you're in right now. Think about what you have to overcome right now, whatever it is, whether it's physical or financial or marital or a relationship, or you haven't had a date in a while, or you're lonely, or you're bitter, or you're broke, or whatever it is. Okay, you got something that you drew the short end of the stick. Okay, well, listen to what Jesus said to the centurion. The centurion said, "Man, can you please? My servant needs to be healed. He's paralyzed and gravely ill." And Jesus just said, "Okay, I'll go and heal him." I mean, just like that. I could picture Jesus saying, okay, I'll go heal him. Yeah, sure. You know, it's almost like, you know, if Sandy would call and she'd say, oh my gosh, I'm making this big dinner and I need some butter, I need some cheese, or I need an ingredient for it, and I can't really finish it. And I'm if I'm leaving the office, I'm driving by. How many grocery stores do I drive by, Scott? Half a dozen. I'm driving by. Yeah, I'd say, no, I got it. I'll just stop and get something. That's how it seems like Jesus' response was. It was just real casual and cavalier. Yeah, I'll go and heal him. Well, listen to what the centurion says. He said, Lord, I don't deserve for you to come to my house. He said, I don't deserve it, but you just speak the word. But listen to how he describes, and I looked at this, and I'll tell you, the internet, I've got a Bible at home that's got 32 translations in it, and sometimes I just sit and I'll just look at them and I'll just think, oh my gosh. But there's the internet now gives it to you on your telephone, okay? And it says, and here in Matthew 8, I'll figure out how to work this. Thumbs come in handy as well, too. That's why that's why horses can't use cell phones, because they don't have thumbs, okay? But I have thumbs, so I can use it. Like, Sean's really good at it right now. He's ordering pizza right now, just from the second row. We're all having pizza tonight after church on Sean, okay? But here's what it said. I'm not going to tell you what the translations are. I just want to give you a mental picture, because the response to this, Jesus said, yeah, I'll go heal him. I could picture him just kind of shrugging, going, hey, I got this. Okay, it says, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Another one says, in terrible pain. Another one says, suffering in terrible agony. Another one says, grievously tormented. Another one says, fearfully tormented, grievously tormented, in terrible agony. He's paralyzed. He can't even move, which is, he's paralyzed. Okay, it's a little redundant, but Jesus let that go. It says, In terrible pain, in terrible anguish, grievously tormented, badly tormented, in terrible pain, suffering great pain, grievously tormented. Okay, you guys get it, right? I mean, this was a bad situation. And then Jesus said, look, yeah, I'll go heal him. And he's like, no, wait a minute. And this something clicked in this centurion enough to where Matthew, man, wrote this in the gospel that the Holy Spirit inspired him, that he said, no, you don't even have to go. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I have authority. I have soldiers that work under me. If I tell them to go somewhere, they got to go there. If I tell them to do something, they've got to do it. If I tell them to stop, they got to stop. If I tell them to jump, they say, how high? Okay, he said, I'm a man under authority. He said, I get this authority. Okay, in your notes, the first point, write this down. I get this authority. This is all about authority. Really, we think about this, and we think about our faith, and we think about strong faith, and we think about weak faith, and we think about absence of faith, and we think about sedentary faith. But listen, it's about authority. See, if you get this tonight, let me tell you, your faith is going to go, it's going to mushroom. You're going to leave here tonight with amazing faith. Is that cool with you? Okay, you sure that's cool with you? God, I just thank you that you backed my play tonight and give these guys amazing faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Okay, but he said, you don't even have to go. If you but speak the word, my servant will be healed. And you know what Jesus, and honestly, here's Jesus, who's real cavalier, real casual. He's going, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll go and heal him. And then he says, you don't even have to go. If you just speak the word, my servant will be healed, because I understand your authority. Okay, and Jesus, and here's Jesus. He went from being cavalier to he stopped in his tracks and he said, no, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, I've not seen faith like this even in all of Israel. This is monster faith. This is great faith, is what Jesus said. Okay? That's just a preface to what I want to preach tonight. In Matthew 28 and verse 18 in the Amplified, that Jesus approached. And here's the key, okay? Underline this, highlight this, write it in your notes. Jesus approached and breaking the silence. The title of the message tonight is you got to break the silence. And it's interesting. I've never thought about this before. I always thought about breaking the silence being, well, you start talking or you clap or you make a noise. But no, think about it in terms of breaking it. Think about silence here being like bondage. Silence here being like a prison cell. Silence here being like a chain. Okay, so here's Jesus approaching and breaking the silence, said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, the key word here, we've got to break the silence. We've got to break the bondage. How do we do that? Okay, here's what we have to do. We have to understand the authority that we have. And the authority that we have, understand, it is granted. It's given to us. It's not something you earn. Jesus said this, all authority's been given me. And then he turned around, he said, therefore go. Okay? The key to your life is your switch has to be on go. Whatever, if you're numbering the points, okay, whatever number that is, man, you get the authority, number one. You get it. You understand it. Okay? Number two, you got to break the silence. Number three, you got to flip that switch. See, it's a sports term. You know, I mean, guys like LeBron James, all right? I don't know that I've ever watched a whole game that he's played in, but I'll tell you, everything I read, everything I hear, everything I see is that sucker knows how to flip the switch. How about this? Let's make it closer to home because nobody wanted to cheer for LeBron in here, and I appreciate that. Russell Westbrook. Anybody want to cheer for Russell Westbrook? Let me tell you, I can watch Russell Westbrook play all day, every day. I can watch him. Why? He'll flip the switch. You guys know what I'm talking about here? He'll find a new gear, right? It's kind of like you, Tyler, when you went in that garage, you started pumping that iron. You started getting after it. Man, you flipped the switch, huh? And I'm sure somebody in Stillwater is saying, who sold him an Oklahoma State shirt that he's wearing that in front of everybody? That's just funny. But you got to be able to flip the switch. You got to flip that switch on go. I'll tell you, for me, when I visit somebody in the hospital, what Jesus found with that centurion is that, what did that centurion do? Well, Jesus said, yeah, I'll just go and heal him. And then he goes, no, you don't even have to go. If you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. He's like, whoa, whoa. What did he do? He flipped that switch. See, that's the boldness that we have to have. Every time in the word somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit, there's boldness that operates in their life. Man, we've got to be bold. Man, we've got to be, and it's not, listen, it's not a roughhousing kind of bold. Most of us could do that. Back in the day, I could throw down a few shots and be bold as could be. But it's not that kind of bold. We have to be bold as a lion, yet harmless as a dove. See, and understand that. But this authority, listen, is given, it's granted. But here's the key. How many of you guys want the key? It's got to be spoken. What did that centurion say to Jesus? You just speak the word, my servant will be healed. It's got to be spoken. Too many people just don't know. Man, I'll tell you what's amazing about this is the easy, the simple things, we'll forget them. Do you understand? Jesus didn't come to bring us, he didn't come to comfort us. He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us because he was leaving. Jesus didn't come to make us comfortable. He came to put us in the fight. See, Jesus didn't come to comfort all these Jewish people. No, you know what he did? Man, he came to confront an antiquated, broken system. See, the Jesus in us now, he confronts the broken world that we live in. That's why we're in it, but we're not of it. Everything in the gospel, it's so confrontive. You know, it's so funny, but that people say, well, yeah, but Sheer, you've got an in-your-face kind of approach to ministry. I'm like, I'm not in anybody's face, but I'm going to be direct. Because this word, listen, it's a sword. Write that down. This word is a sword. This word is a sword. This sword is not something to put on display. This sword is something to use. What do you do with a sword if you're in a war, if you're at war, you're in a battle? You stick that enemy. Man, you lop his head off. Man, you cut his knees out from under him. The kingdom of God, what? Suffers violence, and the violent taketh by force. The kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. Man, we've got to look at this. If there's situation, how many of you guys in here, the devil's messing with your marriage? Anybody in here, raise your hands. I'm raising my hand, okay? The devil is trying to mess with my marriage. Anybody else in here, the devil's trying to mess with? No, you know what? He's not going to mess with, no, you know what I've got to do? I've got to use the sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is what the Bible says. Man, I'll tell you, the bottom line with this, how many of you guys have unforgiveness? Don't raise your hands. You got unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart. Let me tell you what you've got to do. You've got to use that sword. You've got to use the word of God. Because let me tell you what that unforgiveness wants to do. That unforgiveness wants to continually pepper you and then, you know what, drive you down in the dirt. He wants you, the devil wants your face in that mud where you can't even, you're coming up gasping for air once in a while. Man, that's no way to live. Turn to somebody and say, that's no way to live. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul writes, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, stop right there. And since we have the same spirit of faith, you get that? Brad, I've got the same spirit of faith that you do. Jeff, I've got the same spirit. That's my little brother. That's who I'm talking to right now. Jeff, I got the same spirit of faith that you do. See, we've got to understand, we've all got the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke. Now stop here. We also what? Believe and therefore speak. Our words have power. Write that down. That's your next point. You're at 4 or 5 now. Our words have power because we walk in authority. See, if you don't walk in the authority that Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. See, we're under a commission. How many guys have heard that? The word, it's a military word. You're commissioned to go fight. You're commissioned to serve. You're commissioned to take new ground. You're commissioned to defend your home. Okay? Listen, think about this. That's co-mission. We're in a co-mission with Jesus. He's got all the authority and he's telling us to go. Guess what we're going with? All authority in heaven and earth. And he said, therefore go. So we've got to understand this. We've got to look at our lives now and we've got to quit playing patty cake. That's the next point. What point are we on now, Jeremy? 6, 7? Powerful points. Quit playing. Here's the point. It's not just patty cake. It's quit playing dadgum patty cake. No, for real. You know what? You got to get goofy. You got to get like a little kid. Let me tell you, I'll do it all. Charleston wants to play patty cake on her second birthday. I'll play it all day. People can YouTube it. But up here in front of the church telling you how to live your life, I'm not going to play patty cake. Not going to play patty cake with any of you. See, that's a sellout in our life when we start playing patty cake. I'm not going to say that ever again when I'm preaching, okay? I can't even say it right. In Mark 11:22, Jesus says, have the faith of God. Okay? And then he said, you got a mountain, you got something that's hovering over you. You have to speak to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. If you don't receive any doubt, you have whatever you say. Why? Because that's authority. What's that doubt going to do? It's going to water down that authority. What's that doubt going to do? That doubt's going to cause you to say, let me tell you something, you do that again, you're going to pay the consequences. Let me tell you, the devil's going to do it again, the devil's going to do it again, the devil's going to do it again. Let me tell you, until you make him pay the consequences. I'll tell you what we've got to start doing. We are in this world, but we're not of it. But let me just tell you something. We're co-laborers. We're in a co-mission with God. And guess what? Our daddy created this whole thing. The whole universe, God created it, and beyond, whatever else there is. And you know what? We've got to look at this now. We've got to look at this and say, wait a second. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I'm an heir of God. That means my inheritance is everything that you could see. Everywhere my foot lands, I possess it. So now, you got to understand, for the enemy to mess with my life, guess what? He's got to pay a toll. You know what I'm going to do? Write this down. This is the next point. The enemy wants to mess with you, you got to charge admission. He's got to pay dearly to mess with you, your wife, your kids, your finances, your job. Alfredo, you listen to me, son? Man, you've got all the authority of heaven and earth. That's the commission that you're under to live now. So now you can say to this mountain, what do we say to the mountain? Everybody, go ahead, yell it out. Somebody yell it out. Be removed and be cast to sea. Let me tell you, say it again. We say to that mountain, what? Be removed, be cast into the sea, don't receive knowledge. What do we say to that mountain? We're not saying, hey, let me just explain something. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm a follower of Christ. Isn't that what people say too? I'm a follower of Christ. We try to make it a little more, we try to add a little marshmallow to it, okay? I'm a follower of Christ. It's like, no, let me just tell you something, devil. The greater one lives on the inside of me. Let me tell you what's beating in my chest. The heart of the lion of the tribe of Dan, gum Judah. How about that, huh? You want to mess with this? I'm going to charge admission. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take all your stuff. You know what, devil? As a matter of fact, you stole from us. And you know what? I'm going to make you repay it. How about that? Seven times. Katie, has the devil taken anything from you? You know what? You have the authority to command a seven-time reimbursement. Man, I'll tell you what. The devil's going to go, what, are you guys a loan shark or something? No, you know what? There's points on the dollar here when the devil takes from us. Are you guys listening? Yes. So what was that last point? You got to charge admission. Man, you've got to have an attitude with this, and you got to think, why? Because greater is he who's in you. Man, it's not really me. It's just Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know, it's not my hands. No, the Bible says I lay my hands on people. Jesus didn't lay his hands on people anymore. No, I hate to burst your bubble. It's me. It's you laying hands on people now. Oh, it's just a point of contact. Where in the Word does it say it's a point of contact? I asked you a question. It's not in there. See, we've got to understand, why are my hands powerful now? Why is there healing in my hands? Why is there salvation on my lips? Why, if I don't receive any doubt, I have whatever I say? Because of the authority that I walk in now. But you know what you've got to do? Are you ready for this? You got to break the silence. Somebody's got to speak. Somebody's got to speak up. Because if we don't, the rocks are going to cry out. And see, that's what we've got to understand. This is all about we ask and believe. Why? Because there's authority. Jesus approached and broke the silence. I'll tell you, all we have to do is break the silence. We speak to that mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea and don't receive. I'm not playing. Okay, this authority that's trying to hover over me, it has to go in the name of Jesus. It has to go in the name of Jesus. How many of you guys, and I want you to raise your hand now, okay? And nobody's being critical here, but how many of you guys are constrained financially? Can I see your hands? How many guys, does that mean do you live month to month? Does that mean you spend what comes in? That's what that means, right? Let's just put it in real terms. Let's just go real here. All right? That's what guts is. I wasn't raised in church. We don't have hymnals here. There's not gonna be fairy dust flying around. It's just gonna be real, okay? We have been delivered from the curse of the law. You understand what happened on that cross? Is Jesus became the curse that was on our lives. He bore our sin, he bore our pain, but he became, right, Scott? He became that curse. Do you understand? There's a curse on Caitlin's life that she was born in. Christian parents, raised in church, does not matter. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. So what had to happen? She had to make Jesus the Lord of her life. She had to take her life through that cross. When she goes through that cross, guess what happens? That curse is broken in her life. What that curse is, write this down, is poverty, sickness, and death. Poverty, sickness, and death. And the death here is you leaving this earth with the unfulfilled destiny of your life. Guess what? If you've given your life to Jesus, you could stop breathing and go to heaven today. But did you finish your course? Did you fulfill your purpose? See, I'll just tell you, all I'm about is I want people to fulfill their purpose. I cannot pastor a church another day where people don't have any idea what their purpose is. And I'll just tell you, there's too much that I see in the Word of us going to the highways and the hedges and compelling them in. That we go and make disciples of them. How do we do that? Man, you know what? We get them into church. We get them into programs. Man, there's so many people. There's people that get saved at this church. How many people got saved at 11 o'clock on Sunday? 25, 30, 40 people? I don't 50 people? I don't know how many it was. I'll just keep exaggerating because I love exaggerating. Exaggeration is not a lie, okay? It's just darn good preaching is what that is, all right? But all these people get saved, and you know what? Who's going to take them the next steps? We're just hoping they're going to find them their way that. We're going to find their way to... Remember when your baby was born? You didn't say, okay, now what I've got is I've got some formula in the pantry right in there. You just go in there and you get some milk, you mix up that formula. There's a microwave. If you don't want, I don't want you using the stove yet because you're a week old. That's what you said to your baby, right? Yeah, you said, I don't want you to use the stove because it wouldn't be right to have a baby use a stove. Do you have a gas stove at your house? Yeah, you got a flame. There's an open flame, Sandy. They're not going to have that baby use that. Taylor, that would be terrible to have that baby be heating up their own formula on an open flame gas stove. That is criminal. Use the microwave. You just push the buttons, right? Okay, you're not going to do that. But at church, we do that all the time. So you know what? We've got to wake up here. We've got to break the silence. Somebody answers the altar call. What do they need? Help. Do the math, Abbo. Someone's got to break the silence. You see what I'm saying? I know it feels that way. You're an intern, right? By the skin of your teeth, right? Right? Yeah. You got to step up. You got to take the step, break the silence, and disciple people. I'm not asking you to start a Bible study. That gets goofy to me. You just make sure they're sitting right here. I remember Taylor was playing on some sports team. Well, we might practice some Wednesdays. I'm like, well, you tell them that we don't practice on Wednesdays. We're church on Wednesdays. I'm paying good money for a youth pastor to disciple you. He does it on Wednesdays. Right, Tay? Yeah. But see, understand this. We have to break the silence. Otherwise, it's like, well, I don't know what to do. No, I know what to do. I'm not leaving it. I'm not leaving my child to my parenting alone. I get distracted. Things will slip by. And when they got smarter, how old were you when you got smarter than me, Taylor? God, I thank you for these incredible people here. God, I thank you that your hand's on every life in this room. I just want you to pray right now as you're putting your phone on silent to break the silence. Don't let your money stay cramped. Your physical body, your marriage. I'll just tell you, on your way home, just speak joy into your home. That's breaking the silence. Remember, you have what you say, right? Right?